How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locking in for episode 235 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head out to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder, subscribe to the podcast. Once you're there, and leave a review once you're on that page. It's always nice when you leave those reviews. It really helps with the rankings and that kind of stuff on iTunes. So if you have something nice to say, you enjoy the show, you want to leave 5 stars, you want to leave a review, that's always a really big help for us here. You can find us on audioboom.com as well. Log on to normantranscript.com. I'm back to work now. I'm back to writing, putting up all kinds of stuff on the Thunder. Obviously, not quite as much as you're going to get during the season because it's still August and there's still not as much, but still trying to put up at least one article every day, at least one piece of one thing up on the site every day, Thunder related. So I'm getting that kind of stuff up, and you can go to normantranscript.com/sports/Thunder Road to find that stuff there, and you head on to Thunder Road and find it. I'm on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Thursday episode today. I'm going to be having Milton Leon from Keymotion today. Like last week or 2 weeks ago, I think it was, I had Michele Berra, who runs ChartSide, and we talked about kind of his view on analytics, and we talked about the way that he's using charts and information and analytics and all that stuff and the different ways that they're using it to try to improve the game and contribute to the game. And I know that that podcast got a lot of positive feedback, especially from the NBA nerds out there. And I imagine if you're listening to an NBA podcast in the middle of August, especially a team-specific one, you're probably under the category of an NBA nerd. So today, I think, is another really good podcast for NBA nerds. Having Milton Leon from Keymotion. Keymotion is a video company. So they basically have automated cameras, and Keymotion is working with teams with this kind of stuff right now. And they're able to take video in an automated fashion and translate it to places that break down the video. And you can use that video to formulate stats. You can use it to break stuff down, you know, all of these different things. And, you know, you see so many stats coming straight from video, from these sorts of automated cameras, from this kind of technology, you know, stuff like Second Spectrum, stuff like Sport View, which you see a lot of Sport View stats are now available up on NBA.com. You can go to NBA.com and go to the stats section. You see the player tracking data. That's all from Sport View. So I think this stuff is really interesting. Been wanting to have Milt on for a little while. We've been talking about it for a little bit. Milt has, you know, he's not just a guy who's just worked with cameras or anything like that. He's got a major background working in the NBA. He was director of basketball operations with the Nets for about 4 or 5 years. And he also was the GM of their D-League team as well. So Milt has seen it from both sides, the team side, the consulting side. I think we had a really interesting conversation. Excuse the audio quality on this one. I got some of the background sound down. We did this over Skype, but the connection was a little bit off at times. So excuse the audio quality. I promise this is not a permanent thing. We'll get back to it normally after this. We're going to get to the conversation with Milt in just a quick second. But before we do, I want to take 1 second to tell you guys about SeatGeek. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there's a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just 2 taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually just use SeatGeek to buy tickets to see Lake Street Dive and Lawrence the Man play at Jones Assembly on Friday night. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, my listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LOL. L-O-N-B-A. It used to be L-O Thunder. Now it's L-O-N-B-A. That's L-O like locked on. That's promo code L-O-N-B-A for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Quick break, and then let's get to that conversation with Milt.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I'm on the line with Milton Lee. He's the CEO of KeyMotion. Now, KeyMotion is, for those of you who know, there's stuff like Synergy and there's SportView and certain, SportView is known for its, Encore tracking and their cameras and those sorts of things. And KeyMotion is kind of a similar type of deal to that. And Milt, you want to kind of explain what you do and what you're trying to do with KeyMotion now? Because I think this is really interesting stuff.
Sure. So we're an automated production ecosystem. That sounds purposely vague. It means that we serve multiple constituents that are all tied to the video production of a game. And so when you think of what we do relative to the other technologies out there, we're at the beginning of the tech stack because we actually produce the video that all the other technologies are reliant on. So Synergy needs to source their video from someone else, and that could be KeyMotion or it could be a cameraman-driven production. But we have created an automated video technology through our patented software, which allows us to produce sporting events without cameramen. It's really cool. We install these cameras permanently into arenas, and our algorithms overlay the camera feed, and they can zoom in, pan out, move side to side, and again, make it look like there was a human involved in the whole process. You honestly would not be able to tell the difference.
That's one of the craziest things to me about this entire technological revolution that we've seen in the NBA, because people talk about the analytical revolution in the NBA, and many seem to imply or talk about it as if it's only about numbers, but it's not. Like, I feel like so many times in order to get now a job in a front office, you need to know computer coding. And you need to know how to work programs like this. And in a lot of cases, it's because of this sort of technological infusion of talent that's coming into front offices and coming into the way that teams operate. And this is just another one of those steps, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the evolution of where the NBA and professional sports has gone from in the whole technological revolution and the data analytics revolution over the last 15 years has really sped up over the last 5 years, largely because of cloud computing, but also because a lot of these front offices and the software companies that are selling to those front offices, including a service like KeyMotion, have been able to evolve at such a quick pace. Absolutely. Front offices, it's much more than just not knowing the stats these days. When we define data, that includes video, that includes basic statistics, but that also includes advanced analytics, which you get off of the combination of data plus video.
So something that's so interesting to me about, are you a baseball fan?
Yeah, enough.
So I love baseball. I grew up loving baseball. It was really growing up, it was really my favorite sport, and it's still my favorite sport to play. And one of the things that's so great about baseball, one of the reasons that it lends itself so well to kind of numbers and tracking, they have StatCast there, and they have, that's always kind of been the sport that's led in sort of an analytics movement. I think one of the reasons why is just because it's a series of compartmentalized actions, right? You throw a pitch, you hit a ball, they field the ball, and the play stops. And then it happens again. And basketball is far more fluid sport, so I feel like in some ways it's harder, which is why I think that these cameras and the numbers that you can get off of them and the way that technology works is such an interesting thing in that event. But would this be something that could work for a sport like baseball or a sport like football, or is it really work for a basketball or a hockey like or a soccer like sport where it's kind of a more fluid kind of never ending series of motions?
Well, you talked about a few things here, so I want to address them one by one, and you're 100% correct. Baseball is an amalgam of one-on-one confrontations, and there's constant stoppage in play. And so it's very unique you know, it's a no-brainer that it was the leader and will continue to be the leader in how analytics is used. Basketball, as you mentioned, you know, it's a much more fluid sport. Every time you add multiple personalities to an event, it becomes more complex. What is the value of that back screen to get a person open? And, you know, how is this person hedging? And what's the weak side defense doing? There's so many more moving parts to actual successful events or non-successful events. And it becomes harder and harder to quantify. And then in basketball as well, you don't have regular stoppage in play, meaning as in football, you know, you have a stoppage at every single down. And so you're able to recalibrate. So there are all these nuances that all the analytics people are trying to figure out. And that's why, you know, we're probably more heavily reliant on video in basketball than we would be in baseball, right? In baseball, you can go off of pure numbers and decide to make certain adjustments, where in basketball, you know, you wouldn't likely go off of pure numbers, certainly not in a short-term basis to make adjustments. I mean, Dean Oliver, who is one of the godfathers of advanced analytics in all of sports and a good friend of mine, he'd always say that, you know, the human eye is better at watching one game and making adjustments to the one game, but the data and analytics can capture all of the games, and that's where it comes in really handy in basketball. So, you know, in a long meandering way of what we can address, we can certainly help, you know, the analytics effort in basketball, but in baseball as well. You know, everyone in every organization or every, you know, telecom or content providers, P&L, they're all trying to cut costs. And one of our abilities, because it's an automated technology, is to reduce costs. And we envision this not only trickling into other sports, you know, we already do five of them, including hockey, but eventually operating outside of sports. Who knows what it can use. It could certainly, you know, unfortunately you wouldn't want to use it for a tragic event like this weekend, but you could think of how an automated video technology could be useful in some of the events that happened this weekend in Charlottesville, where everything could be captured, for, you know, just for police records and court cases and all the things that are going to come out of this weekend. But there are loads and loads of ways that data analytics, video are going to keep intersecting our society, and it's starting in sports, but it's going to bleed its way into all these other aspects of our daily lives.
That's really interesting with how I guess, you know, that's something I hadn't really thought about, like how this sort of technology can help in a realm beyond sports. Just is that kind of how far away are we from that actually happening, like technologically, from where are we still in the, obviously this kind of stuff is still pretty new in terms of integrating it into basketball. I mean, this has all happened really within the last decade or so, but or at least it's become more public and more kind of easy to use within the last decade or so. But how far into this technology are we to where you can set up video and it can automatically translate it into formulas and into numbers and into statistics and it can parse it out on its own? Like, are we far into the process now, or are we going to look back in 30 years and think like, man, that is the worst technology ever?
No. So, you know, a company like Second Spectrum does a derivative of what we're talking about. And they do it very well. And, you know, I've got great respect for them. The issue is cost, right? They do it at a very high price point, and they're producing data and providing advanced analytics. We're producing the video feed, and we're doing it at a much lower cost point. To get it to be ubiquitous in our day-to-day, to have us, you know, this technology replace what's currently out there, will just be a matter of getting the price point down. I don't think it's an issue necessarily of the technology's not being there, but I don't think the technology's are there at the price point that's needed. And it's certainly the way when you talk about, you know, predictive analytics and what might occur, it's certainly in everyone's roadmap for security, or, you know, just, you know, people, you're from New York. For starters, we have video cameras on every single street, you know, from 57th Street, I think, on down. But, you know, people want their dog sitters being videoed. Like, New Yorkers will video anything, you know? it's just a matter of cost.
What is it? What is it about the technology or the business that makes it so expensive?
I can only talk from a 20,000-foot view of what Second Spectrum's doing, but I do know that they have a lot of really high-powered and you know, high-quality engineers that are working on, okay, what is a pick and roll, and how do we define this, and what are those, you know, different scenarios? For us, we have, again, a number of high-powered, high-quality engineers and a lot of PhDs that are constantly evolving and growing the technology, whether that means, you know, growing it into the nuances of a hockey game versus a basketball game, or being able to embed certain graphics, or, you know, we're working on a lot of different things in our pipeline, including adding camera angles, so that we could be basically a complement or a replacement for an ESPN or Fox Sports production, so that, again, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference if this was their, you know, man crew or this was a key motion crew.
So you've had an interesting career, because it's not like you just kind of worked in technology and you were about. I feel like some of the people who work on like this side, you know, have a background in technology or have a background in something along those lines, a background in mathematics, anything along those lines, and then they end up kind of just finding their way into this, and then it kind of fits into sports and they work their way there. I mean, you've done a number of things, but like you've worked for teams before. You were high up with the Nets. Like you've seen this from both sides, from both like a consultant side and a outsourcing to team side, and from the inside of the teams. How much are teams really putting on this sort of technology? Is it as much as it seems like from the outside?
I think there's probably four different groups. You know, there's the very low end. There's the group that just says, we need some sort of technology and analytics. Everyone else is doing it. Let's just do it. And they don't really have a plan. There's kind of a second group right above that that is saying, okay, we need some of this stuff. We think it has value. We're not sure what value it has. We don't really have a budget to spend on some of the really high-end technology. So let's start with a couple of these technologies and let's, you know, move forward and see how it's adding value on a daily basis. And there's a third group that's, you know, and it's probably the organizations that are on the tip of your tongue that you think are the most forward-thinking and, you know, but also measured and saying, hey, let's make sure, you know, we're willing to spend anything, but let's make sure we're getting some sort of return and it's adding value. And, you know, let's also be very secretive about this. And, you know, those are probably the franchises that are handling this technology and its evolution the best. And then there are a couple of organizations that are very forward thinking, but they're just kind of carpet bombing everything and just saying, all right, let's buy everything and figure it out later. And those are the ones that are probably hiring more of the engineers and, you know, just, you know, shoot first, ask questions later. And I think it's still to be determined what the value of some of this technology is. You know, again, we know that we have a tangible value in that we're replacing the need for cameramen, and in some cases replacing the needs for or being additive to their ability to tag and share both remotely or on site and being able to film 24 hours a day. So we know there's a tangible value we are replacing for what they currently do in their workflow. With some of these other technologies, you're not sure what the value is and what you're actually replacing or enhancing. And I think that's still a question mark. You know, when I was at the Nets, Avery and Jason Kidd were both very open-minded towards technology and analytics. And so I was in charge of technology and analytics, and I would have regular conversations with both of them. And I do recall certain conversations when I'd come with them with certain information, and they'd just say, it's too much. It's too much. I can't, you know, on an 82-game season with four games in 7 days or whatever the average is, you know, you can't expect me to start making adjustments based on 52% versus 48%. Because there's a human element involved here of what I'm actually going to be able to get my players to execute. And so if you think of what a coach's, you know, goals are, thematically he has to have a style that he's trying to profess his team to play, but he can't worry about every single detail on a game-to-game basis because the players won't be able to digest it. And so I think, you know, right now we're kind of caught a little bit in understanding there's definite value in this, but what's the applicability? How can we do this in a human way where the players can benefit, digest, understand, and we can all get a return on it versus just sensory overload? There's so much data out there, you know, we're just going to throw it up on the wall and see what happens. You know, and that's happening in a lot of industries where people just don't know what to do. Suddenly, just because we've come up with the ability to capture all this data doesn't mean we know how to use it smartly.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like what kind of what you're saying is that you almost have a similar process with the coaching staff or those guys who in you know jobs where they're working with the players, whether it's coaching staff or assistants or whatever it is. Sounds like you're saying that you have a similar approach in talking to them that they might have in talking to players. Because I talk to coaches and some of the stuff that they'll say, like Billy Donovan, for example, is very analytically inclined. And Billy has this brain where he's able to remember the most specific and the most random numbers off the top of his head. You know, he can tell you what the team shot from three against Milwaukee on, you know, January 17th this past season. He's able to just retain those numbers and obviously think of things far more specific and far more, you know, analytically inclined than just, you know, what they shot against Milwaukee in January. So with what Billy will do is he's not just going to walk up to the team and just, like you, the word you chose, and just overload Russell Westbrook or Steven Adams or whomever else. And obviously different players you approach differently because some players like that stuff. Some players don't really retain that stuff. It just kind of depends on their personality and the way their minds work. And you don't want to overload your guys with that stuff. So he'll approach guys differently, but he'll filter out stuff and he'll give them like one thing that they should know. And it sounds like there's even a process, even from the front office, when you guys go down and you guys go to a coaching staff and you think, okay, here are the things that the coaches need to know and the rest of the stuff we can keep for long term.
That's right. No, I think that's right. And, you know, the best organizations have decision makers that can ingest X amount of information and then, you know, communicate with their team one or two kind of poignant pieces of that information. And it sounds like Billy's one of those people, but you know, that's really a gift. That's still probably pretty rare in today's day and age, where decision makers are able to take it all in and then just say, hey, let's focus on this one thing.
Well, the Jeff Van Gundy strategy, I remember Jeff Van Gundy said once that when he was coaching, he used to just make up analytics to get his players to not do things. And now it's so much more. He said that, like, I think the example was like he told Sprewell, he said he's trying to get Sprewell to stop taking like contested, you know, 15-footers or something like that. And he said he told him, I don't remember the number, but he said, he goes, you know, from that spot, you shoot 17%. And Sprewell was like, no way. And he kind of got him to stop doing it. And he said this on a broadcast once. And then he said, I don't know what he was shooting from there. I have no idea what he was shooting from there. I totally made it up, but it worked. now I don't know if you can do that because I feel like a player could just go to Basketball Reference and look it up and say, that's not what I'm shooting.
That's right. That's right.
So it doesn't work quite as well. Milt, I really appreciate you coming on and talk about this. This is really interesting stuff, and it's fascinating the way that this is like the way this is taking the game, the way it's being integrated into the game. I'm so curious to see what the NBA, because I mean it's already, I mean from an analytics side, from, and this is certainly part of analytics. I mean, people talk about analytics and whether people, when people debate whether analytics are useful, all analytics is to me is just information. And if you're arguing that more information is less useful, then your brain does not work the same way that mine does, because I want the most information as I possibly can when I make a decision. And this stuff is having an effect on the game, and it is, I think it's fascinating.
You're right. You know, I'll leave you with two things. One is a plug for Keymotion. We just signed up our ninth NBA team, and so obviously a lot of them are seeing the value of this technology. But regarding your analogy of analytics to information, I think what certainly a half a generation ago, a lot of them feared the idea of analytics because it was the great unknown. But what Dean Oliver, and again, I learned so much about analytics through him, always said to me was, analytics should just confirm what you as a basketball lifer already know. And, you know, so it shouldn't be thought of as something to fear. It should be something as like that reinforces some of your views. And in the case that, okay, maybe it's telling you something different, it enables you to ask a question that maybe you didn't ask in the past. And so, you know, absolutely, we should all embrace as much of the information as we can.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, it's and you know what? If you want to deny it, then you're going to be left behind. Because it's coming no matter what. I mean, when in the world has in any industry more information come on? I mean, how many times have you seen people in any industry where the industry is developing and it's growing and all of a sudden, you know, half the people, hey, I work for a newspaper. I know how this stuff works. And people deny how it's developing and they end up in the dust. And that's just it's the way it works every time.
Yep.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. Anything else? Anything else to plug? You know, anything else people should know that I didn't ask about?
Keymotion, we're the future of live production.
There you go. We'll leave it at that.
Thanks a lot, Fred. Appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, thank you for coming on, and I'm sure we'll talk soon. Just quickly before I go, you remember I'm on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Head on to iTunes, subscribe to Lockdown Thunder there. Questions, comments, email lockdownthunder@gmail.com or find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FredKatz. I'm back to writing now, so off vacation, so you can go on to normantranscript.com/sports/Thunder Road, see all my Thunder stuff there. You can check out Thunder Road. You can check out my stuff on Twitter. I'll tweet out all those links as always. That's going to do it for today. Until next time, Locked on Thunder is locking up.
Support for this podcast comes from NetSuite. NetSuite lets you see what's going on with your business in real time, from accounting to order management and much more. You've outgrown your business management software. Let NetSuite help. Go to netsuite.com/podcast to get your free guide and find out why NetSuite is a leading business management solution for growing companies. Get up and running fast with NetSuite.